Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. We are glad you are here. If you're one of our members or regular attenders, it's always good to see you again. If you haven't been with us before or haven't been with us for a while, welcome back. We're glad to have you with us. I'm going to give you an opportunity, as soon as we turn on these house lights, to have you stand up. Let's do that right now. Go ahead and stand up and find someone next to you, beside you, and just introduce yourself and welcome them to church this morning. Joy to be with you here this morning as we come together to worship the Lord. I want to read a verse for you. It's something I think we probably can all identify. It is a psalm wherein at this point in the psalm, David is asking God for something very specific. And here's what David said. Here's what his prayer was. Here's what his hope was, his desire was. He said, "Lord, stop me doing things that I know are wrong." Now, we're gonna wait there just a minute, okay? Any of you ever done something that you knew was wrong but did it anyhow? Anybody? No? Yeah. All of you are liars. Lord, stop me from doing the things that I know are wrong. Do not let those sins rule my life. Then I will not be guilty. I will not have turned against you in a bad way. Would you pray with me, please? God, I want to thank you for our opportunity to be here today at this church again to worship you, to thank you, and to allow you to speak to us, to teach us, to encourage us, and to convict us. And Lord, we identify with what David prayed to you. And we ask, Lord, stop me from doing the things that I know are wrong. Speak to us today, Father, as we think about how you can do that in our lives. Guide us now. We bless you and we praise you. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a letter written to a pastor that said this: "Dear pastor, I need some help. Every morning I start out with the best intentions to change my ways, and I think today is going to be different. But it never is. Somehow, some way, I always fall back into my same old ways of relating to people and back into my old habits. Sometimes I feel like there's a tug of war going on inside of me. I really want to do what's best, but I always end up disappointing myself and God. I've tried everything: prayer, resolutions, self-help tapes, even hypnosis. Nothing seems to work. Why do I keep making the same mistakes? Why am I so resistant to change? Why do I do the things I know are bad for me? I'm very discouraged, and I need help getting unstuck." Ever felt that way? Ever had one of those experiences in your life? One day, one week, one month, one season of an entire year? The truth is, folks, good intentions are never good enough to produce long-lasting change. It takes more than just desire to change to have long-lasting change in your life. If desire was all you needed to change, you'd be different than you are right now. I'd be different than I am right now. But it takes more than just that. I've been in a series of messages that I've called Becoming Who God Wants Me to Be. I talked about the process of change God takes us through to make us who he wants us to be. And then last week I spoke about how much we matter to God, because we need to realize how much we matter to God if he's really going to be able to change us. So today is the third message in this series. I want to talk about overcoming what overcomes me. Now, I hope you got a bulletin on the way in. Inside of that bulletin, you should see an outline. Take that outline out. You can follow along with us. You can fill in some of the blanks as we go. We're going to be talking about overcoming what overcomes me. Now, we have a tendency to get stuck in a cycle that goes like this. Good intentions, failure, guilt. Good intentions, failure, guilt. And we go round and round and round the cycle over and over again. Most of us have known what it felt like for Paul when he said this in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. See if you can identify with what he's saying here. Paul, the apostle, said, I don't understand myself at all. For I really want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing I hate. I don't even need to see a hand raised. We've all been there. The fact is, if you've been that way, if you felt that way, welcome to the human race. There's not a person I know of who ever lived and was honest with themselves who couldn't say, that's where I've been. So this week, I want us to look at how to defeat those stubborn, persistent temptations that keep dragging you down. There's a pattern. There are things we can actually put into place to help us become more successful in this area. So follow this in the outline. Write this in. First of all, the first thing we need to do, if we're going to have more success at overcoming temptation, is we need to predetermine our pattern of temptation. We need to predetermine the pattern of temptation we have. What does that mean? All of us have unique patterns in life. You have a unique thumbprint. You have a unique fingerprint. You have a unique palm print. You have a unique voice print. Your heart has a unique heartbeat. You also have a unique pattern of temptation. There are certain things that tempt you in certain ways that don't bother me a bit. And it goes vice versa. Now, Satan knows your pattern of temptation. He wants to trip you up. He wants to make you vulnerable. He's looking for the best way, the best time, the best process, and how he can catch you, trip you up, and get you to do what you don't want to do all over again. So we need to figure out our pattern of temptation because it does follow a pattern. And if you can't figure out where you're most likely to stumble, then you can't figure out why you're doing it all over and over again. It's just going to go one day after the next with no forward progress. Look at this verse out of Proverbs chapter 4, a couple of verses here. It says, plan carefully what you do. Avoid evil and walk straight ahead. Don't go one step off the right way. So in predetermining your pattern of temptation, you need to ask yourselves 5 questions, okay? Just fill this in as we go. First, you have to ask yourself, when am I tempted? What day of the week? What time of day? Which day of the week are you most tempted? Mondays, Fridays, Sunday nights? What time of the day? You should also know that time of your day when you're going to be the most weakest with certain temptations. Is it in the morning, mid-morning, lunch, early, afternoon, late, get up in the middle of the night? When are you most tempted? Think about it. I guarantee you, if you were to think through this through this next week and the next month or back in the next weeks or months previous to this time, you would realize there is a time when you're most tempted. Secondly, where am I most tempted? When and where? At work, in the kitchen, your neighbor's house, when you're in your car, on your way to work, maybe when you're on the computer. When? When I'm most tempted, where am I most tempted? Number 3, who is with me when I'm most tempted? Who is with me? Some of you are most tempted when you're simply alone. Others of you are most tempted when you're with your buddies and they all wanting to do something that you know you don't want to be involved in again. Well, I'll just go along with it. Some of you lose your temper with certain people. Some of you are most tempted when you're in a crowd of strangers and you think nobody's watching, right? I remember when I did some mission trips. I'm not making this up. I did mission trips overseas. In Kenya, I went to Romania. I've been blessed to be able to participate in that. And honest to goodness, I thought I was done with people who knew me. And I landed down in Kenya airport. And there was a person in the airport and they said, hey, Pastor Kevin. I was like, what in the world? I can't get away from these folks. Yeah, apparently it was good for that day. What, think of number four, think about this. What temporary benefits do I get when I give in? Folks, there's always a payoff for giving into temptation. If sinning were a bummer, none of us would do it. We just wouldn't. In fact, the Bible says this in Hebrews 10:25, there is a pleasure in sin for a short time. Even the Bible says sin is fun, but it's a temporary payoff. There is pleasure for a short time. You get a kick, but then you get a kick back. And that's what we want to avoid. But find out, what temporary benefits do I get when I give in? And number five, ask yourself this question. How do I feel right before I'm tempted? It's important to know your personal emotional triggers. Do you get tempted when you're frustrated, when you're feeling lonely, when you feel unloved, when you're worn out? Figure out what those triggers are. Predetermine your pattern of temptation. A young boy by the name of Tawny had a reason to feel particularly bad. His family fled Nigeria and settled in New York at a homeless shelter. And the school Tawny attended had a chess club, but he didn't have money enough to buy into it and play. And so instead of blaming people for his plight in life, he started studying chess all on his own. He read about it. He practiced it. He saw other people do it. And he won the New York State Chess Championship at the age of 8. In 5th grade, Tawny won the Connecticut Open, and he earned the rank of chess master. Do you know how he did that? He spent hours and hours and weeks and months and years following the patterns that successful chess people played out. And because he knew the patterns, he was successful. Folks, you need to predetermine your pattern of temptation. That's the first step that will help you overcome the temptations. Secondly, you need to pray for God's help. Prayer is not the only thing you need to do to overcome temptation, but it's something you must do. Praying gives you the strength to do other things that we're talking about here through this message. And if you don't pray, you're not going to have the strength or protection against temptation that you need, because there's something supernatural about the temptation. It's a battle between what God wants us to do, what Satan wants us to do, and we need to get God through prayer into the process for our lives. Look what it says in Matthew 26:41. Keep alert and pray. Otherwise, temptation will overpower you. I like it. Keep alert. Predetermine your pattern of temptation. Keep alert. Be aware of it. Not only, but and pray. If you don't, the temptation is going to be too much for you. You have to make prayer a regular part of your life. You have to learn how to pray microwave prayers. Yes, something's coming up, bam, you do it. But you've got to talk with God all along. You've got to have hard talks with him, discussions with him where you're saying, God, I just don't get it. Here I am again. I didn't want to be here, but God, I need strength that I don't know where it's going to come from. I need your help. You need the kind of prayers that make your knees hurt because you were on them for a long period of time. You need to talk to God. Sometimes the prayer might be simple. Help. God. Help. Psalm 50, verse 15 puts it this way. God says, call to me when trouble comes. I will save you. Now, how do we know we can expect God to help us when we're in trouble? We can know that because he cares. And he's sympathetic to the struggles that we're going through. He understands it. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4. It's talking about Jesus here. Jesus understands our weaknesses. How in the world could Jesus live a perfect life? How can he understand our weaknesses? How can he identify? Jesus understands our weaknesses. Why? For he faced all of the same temptations that we do. Yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and grace to help when we need it. God identifies. He understands because his son Jesus, while he was here, he faced the same temptations that we go through. Does that mean Jesus struggled with the temptation to be angry, selfish, disobedient? Absolutely. Same temptations we go through. Did he have temptations that had to do with sexuality and fatigue and loneliness and all the things that we face? Absolutely. He most certainly did. The Bible said every type of temptation we went through, he went through. The difference between us is that we gave in, Jesus didn't. That doesn't mean he didn't struggle. Matter of fact, I think he struggled more than we struggle, because when you give in, it's a little easier. If you fight against it till it's over, you've got to put up a bigger fight. Jesus understood. He faced it till the end, till the temptation went away. He understands what we're going through. And so he's sympathetic, and he can give us power to overcome those temptations in our lives. Folks, don't ever forget that God is always, always with you. You don't need to have a formal time with God. You don't need to set an appointment to come talk to him about what's going on in your life, about the temptations you're struggling through, about the hard circumstances you're in. You can just talk to him. He's already there waiting with you and for you. It's interesting. God is up in the heavens sitting on his throne, but he's also right here, right now, in this little church sanctuary. And he's where you are when you go home. He's in the car when you're driving. And late at night when you're just ready to chill out, he's right there. He's everywhere. And all you need to do is just talk to him. You don't have to fold your hands. You don't even have to close your eyes. Please don't do that when you need one of those driving prayers. Sometimes I'll ask, Libby and I are driving. I said, Lib, would you pray about this? I don't want to pray because I'm driving. And just talk to God. Pray to him. A lady by the name of Irina Sendler was a person of deep prayer. When Germany invaded Poland during the Holocaust, Irina Sendler rounded up Jewish people into a walled-in ghetto. She took food and medicine to them, and she proceeded to help 2,500 children escape to freedom by placing them in the bottom of toolboxes or in burlap bags and sending them to Christian orphanages. But she was eventually caught by the Nazis, and her actions cost her 2 broken legs, imprisonment, and extreme malnutrition. But when the war was over, she prayed again and asked God to help her reunite those children that she saved with their original families. And she did. And the only reason she got through it all was the time she spent talking to God through every moment of every day that God gave her, even in those most torturous situations. Just talk to God. Just talk to him. It surprises me that people still say, I don't know how to pray. I'm like, duh. Yeah, you do. You just spoke words. You can speak words. It's just talking to God. St. Augustine said this: pray as though everything depended upon God, and work as though everything depended upon you. I think that's what Miss Sandler did for those kids. She prayed like it was all up to God, and then she worked like it all was up to her. So make prayer a lifelong habit to overcome the temptations that you face. Predetermine your pattern of temptation. Pray for God's help. Number 3, point your attention elsewhere. Point your attention elsewhere. Change the direction of your thoughts. Refocus on something else. Look what James said in chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. James said, temptation is the pull of your own evil thoughts and wishes. These evil thoughts lead to evil actions. Bible says temptation starts with a thought. It doesn't start with an action, not even an emotion. It starts with a thought. The battle begins, folks, in your mind. If you're going to overcome temptation, you've got to learn to change your thoughts, the way you think. Point your attention in another direction, because whatever gets your attention, folks, gets you. For instance, if I were to say right now in the middle of this wonderful sermon you all are listening to and taking copious notes to, and I were just stop here just a minute and say, I'm kind of hungry. And if you didn't eat any breakfast, all of a sudden you're going, dang, I'm a little hungry. And if I were to say, yeah, you know, I kind of like go by early bird, lead church a little early, sneak out during the invitation time and go to early bird because, man, they got some good breakfast. Or maybe you're thinking, I'm just going to stick out the sermon, but I want to go down to California Dreaming because, man, there, have you seen their menu lately? And I could go down there and get one of their steaks. And all of a sudden, the whole congregation at Grace Point Church is thinking about how hungry they are and the food they want to eat, right? It didn't take much. It didn't take much at all. Satan does that all the time to us, but we don't notice it. He says, hey, think about this. And if you don't know how to refocus that point of your attention, if you don't know how to point it somewhere else, all of a sudden you've taken the bait. And he's going to do his best to lead you to give in to that temptation. Temptation always follows a predictable process. It goes through three stages. The first is attention. Something has to get your attention first before it can tempt you. Maybe it comes to you in the form of a thought, something that you can see, something you hear, something you remember. It gets your attention. The second thing is arousal. I got your attention, then it's arousal. Arousal is when your emotions kick in. Hey, I'd like that. That would be comforting. That would be release. That would be exciting. That would make me feel better. Attention, arousal, your emotions get involved. And then third, action. That's when you actually carry it out. I'm going to do something about it. But then look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. He says, we capture every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Now, folks, it's hard to capture that thought in this process. It's hard to capture it and say, wait a minute, I don't want to give in. I want to put that under the boundaries of Jesus Christ. It's hard to do, but we can do it. Learning to capture your thoughts, learning to control your thought life is something that takes a lot of practice. But it's something we need to do. If you've been thinking one particular way for 10, 20, 30, 40 years or more, and you have a pattern of thinking that follows the same process all the time, it may not be easy, but Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God can help you overcome that. You need to reprogram your mind to more positive, beneficial, edifying ways of thinking so the temptation doesn't have an easy way to get into your mind. Now, you can't control most of the circumstances in your life. You can't control how you feel about those circumstances, but you can control how you think. And it's those thoughts that are controlling your emotions. Don't say, I don't want to feel that way. Fighting a feeling only reinforces it. It's like hitting a nail deeper and deeper into the wood. You know, I don't want to be like my father was. I don't want to be like my mother was. And guess what happens when you do that? You just start, and before you know it, you're like, dang, I'm just like them. When you fight a feeling, it just gets more embedded in your mind. You say, well, wait a minute. Doesn't the Bible say we're supposed to resist temptation? Listen to me. It does not. The Bible does not tell you to resist temptation. The Bible tells you to resist the devil. There's a big difference. A big difference. When Jesus was tempted out into the wilderness, Satan came to him and said, hey, why don't you turn these stones into bread? You can eat them. Jesus was out there for a long time. He was hungry. The stones in the wilderness where he was looked like small loaves of bread. And Satan said, hey, not a big deal. You're hungry. You're out in a circumstance. It looks like bread. Jesus, just do it. Make it bread and you won't have to be hungry anymore. Jesus never said, I'm not hungry. He never denied what was true about. He never said, that's okay, you know, I can feel my stomach. No, I'm not hungry. He didn't. He said, Satan, I'm not going to do that. Get out of here. He resisted the devil. He quoted scripture. He didn't resist the temptation. He resisted the person who was bringing the temptation to him. Look what Paul said in Romans 12:21. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil with good. Point your attention somewhere else. During the Rose Bowl back in January of 1929, a player by the name of Roy Regals picked up a fumble and he ran it back the wrong way. All the way down to one of his players finally tackled him literally at the 1 yard line where he would have scored for the other team. Halftime came and he was beside himself. He was humiliated for his mistake. He found a place in the locker room where he sat by himself. He was all upset, just a ball of tears. And at halftime, Roy's coach told him that he would start the second half, and Regal said, no, I can't do it. The coach insisted he was going to play, and history shows that Roy Regals played the best 2 quarters of football in his entire football career the second half of that game. If Roy had stayed focused only on his one bad play, he would not have been playing crazy good football that second half. But because he turned his attention away from it to the second half of the game, he was able to excel. Folks, we need to turn our thoughts from wrong things to the right things, from the bad thing to the good thing, from the lie to the truth, from the temptation to the better outcome, the positive, beneficial things that will happen when we don't sin. Turn your mind around, fill it with the right thing. Predetermine your pattern of temptation, pray for God's help, point your attention somewhere else. And number 4, participate in accountability. Participate in accountability. The truth is, folks, there are some problems in your life you're never going to solve on your own. It's just the way it is. If everybody could solve their problems, their temptations, their sinful behaviors all on their own, we would do it. And we can't. Not all on our own. No matter how hard you try, some are just too big, some are just too far ingrained, some are just too habitual. And you're only going to solve them if you get some help from people around you and you let them help you tackle those problems and those issues and those temptations. So you need to get around people who are going to encourage you and love you unconditionally and not judge you, but who are going to hold you accountable. Look at the Bible says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, 2 are better than 1, because together, if one falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone and falls, there's no one to help him. You don't need a lot of friends in your life, but you need 1 or 2 good ones who know enough about you, who love you the way they are, and who refuse to allow you to continue falling the same way over and over and over again. You've got to have at least 1 or 2 of those who are going to help you through those tough times. Some of you have some habits in your life that are deep, dark secrets. You haven't told anybody. I mean, you haven't told anybody. And you don't intend to. Pastor, I'm okay. No need for me to start that stuff now. I'm making it just fine. You don't want anybody to know about them because you wonder, what will people think? If you can't talk about a problem in your life, it's already out of control, folks. The first step in control is admitting it and being able to talk about it. The moment you admit your problem to someone else, your habit, your weakness, your big sin, that problem, that issue, starts weakening its grip on you. I love what James says in James 5:16. Admit your faults to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Admit it to somebody else. Pray. Have them pray for you. The fact is, folks, hiding a hurt only intensifies it. So we're told that we should share it with other people. But we have a tendency not to do that because we just know the moment I share this, when I really open up to somebody and I say, okay, here's my big one, we just think they're just going to think less of us, that they're just going to tell somebody else? We need to have somebody that God puts in our life that we can turn to and say, you know what? Here I am. I'm going to open up emotionally, spiritually. I'm just going to lay my life before you because I need someone who can help me, and I'm hoping and praying to God that you're the one. But the reason we don't want to do that is we think we're the only ones who have that issue. We think we're the only ones who struggle with that particular temptation, that particular problem. We think we're the only ones in this church, even a church of this size. If I said this, nobody else would ever say, oh, I'm tempted that same way. And I'm going to tell you right now, you are dead wrong. You are dead wrong. I thought about doing this today, and I figured, nah. It's going to give everybody the same size paper, no markings, the same ink, the same pencil, whatever. And I just wanted you to write down your secret sin. Write it down. Ball it up. Just throw it up here. I was going to go pick them all. I wouldn't know who's whose, and I guarantee you, every one of those that was written down would have at least the same thing written down at least one time. At least one time. Many, many more times. You are not the only one struggling. You may be the only one not telling anybody else about it, but you're not the only one struggling. Look at this verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13. It's a great promise. No temptation that comes your way is beyond what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. He says, I'll be there. I'll help you. You can change. You just have to be willing to trust Jesus Christ and to do it His way. Doesn't matter how long you've been stuck on that particular sin, that particular habit that you give into that particular temptation, God can bring you through it. No doubt. But you have to have some accountability to God and then to at least one other person. Yvonne Fernandez was in second place in a cross-country race that he was in Spain. And the leader, Evan Wanji of Kenya, slowed down near the finish line. He couldn't read Spanish. And so he got to a place where the road was forking and he didn't know which way to go to continue on the race. So he was confused and he thought, oh, this is over. I don't know which way to go. And the Kenyan runner came to the same place and stopped and said, what's going on here? What's happening? He said, I don't know which way to go. He could have just kept on running and taken the race away from him. And he didn't. He stopped. And he let the man get his bearings and start racing again, and he won. And somebody caught up with him after the race, and they said, hey, why didn't you just go ahead and win the race yourself? He was stuck. That wasn't your fault. Why didn't you just go ahead and run and take the win? And he turned back to the journalist, and he said, but what would my mother think? So apparently his mother was a pretty good person to hold him accountable during his race. We need somebody that we're accountable to who's going to help us finish the race that we're in. Predetermine your pattern of temptation. Pray for God's help. Point your attention somewhere else and participate in accountability. You want to become all that God wants you to be? This is how you need to deal with the temptations when they come your way. Okay? Now, that's a lot to put together and a lot to take in, even with the notes and everything else. You can go back and see the sermon again later if you want to. But do at least this. Look at one of these suggestions I've given you today. Just pick one of them and say, you know what? I'm going to start with this one. Or maybe there's a verse that jumped out with you. Make that your memory verse this week and say, you know what? I'm going to claim this verse. I'm going to remember this verse because that's going to happen. Do something more than just almost become overwhelmed by all of this. Pick something. One step, one thing that you can do to make sure you're on the right path to overcoming the temptations that you have. Fair enough? All right, good. Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you that you are a loving God who is approachable, who cares for us, and who wants our best. And you know, Lord, we are just humans. We're going to be tempted and we're going to give in. But you've given us some things we can do. You've given us some thoughts we can think about. You've given us some action steps we can take so we don't have to keep repeating the same temptation and the same sin over and over and over again. There's a way out. So God, use your word to us today to help us to start one of the things we've talked about, maybe even two or three of these things, so we don't have to keep on repeating the sin that we're so sorry for doing in the first place. Give us some victory over what has become victorious against us. Help us to overcome those things that overcome us, and to do so by the way that your word tells us to do. So, Lord, all of us have a place that we need to start with this, or something we need to repeat, or something we need to do about moving on to the next step, the next point, the next level. Help us to do that now so we can become the people you want us to be. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Kevin, did you recognize the, there's a group sitting down here for some thing going on? Do you know, did you guys give these ladies a hand? I don't know, did you? I don't know if you've already done this. All right, so ladies who were on the retreat, please stand up. Yes, give them a hand. And I would encourage you next year to get a t-shirt or something so we'll know who it is. Okay, so very good. They're exciting group. You guys can have a seat. Now, I will say this. We had 16 back there in the youth today from 8 different schools. Yeah, I'm not going to call out the schools because I can't remember them. So, Kevin, did you tell the story about what happened last night with the police? Should we tell this story? We can't tell that story. All right. I will tell this story, though. The last time I remember preaching a sermon about bad habits, and I mentioned one of the bad habits was speeding. You know, when you're driving, speeding. Guess what happened on the way home from church? I was pulled over. I held up the sermon notes to the officer. Sir, I just preached about this. And he gave me a warning. Thank you. So that was it. So great group in the youth today. If you want to talk to Kevin about that, or Libby. Libby will tell you more about this. Am I fired now? Again? I'm fired again? We can't tell it?
I don't know if I should tell it now or when you are done saying it or if you shut up.
Kevin, this, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Kevin, yes, give him a hand, encourage him.
Is this on? I barely get an amen to my sermon, but now the gossip in your family. So last night we had 2 grandchildren over and teenagers, what are y'all, 9th grade, 8th, 9th grade, 10th grade, something like that. And we decided to play this game called Midnight Hide and Seek. And so it's supposed to be played at midnight. We play it any time after it gets dark. And you know how that goes. All the lights are out. There's nothing. And you're hiding and somebody's trying to find you. Well, I spook real easily. It can be broad daylight. I could go outside today and you'd come up behind me and tap me on the shoulder. And I go, what? I just spook really easily. And so last night, I was chosen first to be the one to go find people. I mean... wetting my pants the whole way through the house.
I don't know if I'd have said that, Kevin. Well, okay.
At any rate, I found a granddaughter who scared, the bejesus out of me. I was petrified, right? Because that's how I am. You're laughing at how God made me. How's that make you feel? So we get all through that, and now I'm no longer the one who is looking for people. I think she was, right? It was you. And so I hide under a bed in one of our rooms, and there's stuff under there, and there's a paint can under there, and I just start banging the paint can, because she's having a terrible time finding us, and I'm loving that. So I'm making noise under the bed. It sounds like, ju-ju-ju, you know, and we're all screaming. We're banging on doors. We're just trying to... Next thing I know, there's a police officer knocking at our door. I'm under the bed, still banging my can. And apparently the neighbors thought that we were having a fight where there was gunshot going on. And I'm still under the bed. I can't get out. I'm stuck. Everything was settled down and everything was all right, no big deal. I finally got out from the bed. I said, thank you, officer. If you hear any other story than that, they're telling you a lie. All right?
Thank you, Kevin. That was awesome. That was awesome. Now the verse number 2 might be very appropriate here, Kevin, for that situation. When the shadows of this life had gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars have flown, I'll fly away. Let's pray and take that excitement with you as you go. Lord, thank you for this fun time we've had. Help us as we go out to remember the message, to remember those habits that we need to change in our life, that we can only do it through your help, to pray for help and find that accountability partner and to replace it with godly habits. We love you. We thank you, Lord, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen. Amen.